You're listening to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast, supported by Gardex. Industry-leading automotive products, including paint and interior protection, insurance products, and digital solutions. To find out more, visit gardexgroup.com.
Hello everyone, it's Mike Brewer and welcome to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast, not to be confused with the TV show of a similar name. Sitting next to me in the passenger seat, as always, is my wingman. It's Mr. Andy J. How are you, Andy?
I'm great, mate. I've got my hand on the handbrake, just in case.
Well, we're not going to roll off into the countryside or anything. We're actually going to have a journey this time that is to die for. I'm so excited about this. Because I've known this lady for a few years. We've become mates. I've gone to see her perform. I've gone to see all kinds of things that she's done. And when you pour through her back history, you go, oh, right.
Yeah.
She's done quite a bit and won quite a lot and been awarded. She's a bit special.
Yeah.
I describe her, you know, when you think, and we haven't got to the name yet, but you go, actress, judge now on talent shows, singer, songwriter, multi-award winner. You go, it's like the Swiss Army knife of talent, isn't it, that we've got in front of us?
Yes, it's almost like, what can she not do? We should ask about crocheting, shouldn't we?
Yes, it makes me feel like a really crap human being sitting next to her. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast, Beverly Knight!
Yay!
Oh, Bev, it's so good to have you sat in front of us. It's absolutely blooming fantastic.
It's lovely to be here. That was all right. I'll build up that one. I thought, oh, gosh, who are you talking about?
Well, we're talking about you. I mean, your history is long, vast, varied. And when you pour through the accolades and the achievements you've had over those years, you go, oh, my God, you know, Bev's an MBE. You know, you're an MBE. You performed literally, in front of prime ministers and at 10 Downing Street. You've done all kinds of things, haven't you?
I've done lots of things.
Also in the back seat of the car, you may hear her in the background, as ever, in the back seat of my car is the wonderful Michelle, Mrs. B.
Always in the back seat.
Always in the back seat, Michelle. Shout out my shoulder. Right, so, Bev, let's go right to the very beginning, because I know a lot of people out there, when I told people Beverly Knight's coming on the show, a lot of my friends, of which are your friends as well, got very excited and went, this is going to be a good one. And everyone said the same. Where did Bev first find out? Where did those pipes come from? Where were you? How old were you? Were you 5, 6, 7? You stood in the front room in your knickers and went, yeah! Is that how it happened?
I come from a musical family. That's the first thing. So for me, musical is normal as breathing, you know. I opened my mouth and, as far as I was concerned, I could sing. The whole world could sing. It's only when I got to school I realised that the world couldn't sing.
Right, okay.
I was surrounded by people who could. Mum, dad, older sister, cousins, aunts, uncle, everybody could sing. I guess I realised that my voice was, shall we say, distinctive?
Yes.
And
good,
loud.
Good enough to be professional.
I was about 4.
Wow, young.
Young. Mum singing at church. It was one of them, you know, came through singing at church. She's singing on the pulpit. My sister's up there. My sister's like 7. I want to join in. So I'm like in the seat, like I want to join in. So, of course, me, no fear of anyone, the stage, anything. I'm one of those kids, you know, like precocious. So up I go and I'm just wailing. And my mum tells me that before I was speaking properly, I was singing.
Wow, nice.
And she says that she used to pick me up from play school and the play school teachers would say, well, she's singing away. Don't know what she's singing, but her singing away, you know. So I don't know anything else.
That's
you
fantastic.
Know what I mean? I've always sung.
Can I ask, when you have a talent as natural as that and you're aware of it from as young, and I mean this kindly, does that mean, I mean, you've almost got your path set out, right? You've got this talent, you know that it's, you'd learnt it at 4, so by the age of 9, 10, 11, 12, you've realised that it's really quite distinctive.
Yeah.
Does that mean you kind of don't have to try hard at anything else because you've kind of got that path set out? Do you know what I mean? You kind of, Jesus is, we don't need to try too much because I've got the pipes.
Do you know what? I also, with having the musical ability, I was a nerd.
Yay!
So, you'll be pleased to hear. I was that geeky kid who had my head in the book. I still am that kid who has a head in a book. studying hard. I wanted to know everything about the stuff that I was interested in. Sod the stuff I wasn't. But I really did have to graft education and everything. I really, really wanted to be good as much as I could be. My other big love was sports. So, you know, I was okay, really.
Hang on, you're basically telling us you were the triple threat.
No.
Music,
yeah.
Nailed it. Sport, no. Nailed it. Smart. Yes. Done. Yeah. Boom. You must have been popular in school.
I wasn't great. You know, I was all right.
I would imagine at school, the teachers would have gone, okay, well, it's the nativity play is coming up.
Right, can we just give all the parts?
Up. Let's just have a look at who we've got. Right, so Bev, you're always going to be the first choice, aren't you, in every school play? They would have just gone, right, it's Bev, and, you know...
Let's make it a musical this
year. Yes, let's make it a musical. The Nativity musical, Christmas with Bev. It must have been... You must have just been constantly on the stage at school because you can't hide that talent. I always say, you know, you can learn to play a guitar, you can learn to play the piano, but you're born with a gift, and you were born with this gift of singing, which is, you know, there's only a few people in the world that can do what you can do to the level you can do it. So it's a real talent.
The way I think of it is it fell in my lap at birth, and it was like, take it, work with it, hone it, run with it, or, you know, just leave it on the shelf. Well, I wasn't going to leave it on the shelf because I absolutely... It's not just having a voice, but I love music so much that I had to do something with it. And, yeah, it was not concealed in any way, shape or form. Any opportunity I had, I was on that stage.
When did you realise you had this amazing gift?
Four.
Yeah, I must have been about...
Where were you in the
boot? She was in the boot. She was in the boot.
She was in the back seat.
Turn the volume
can't hear
up
in the back seat.
She was reading the map. I tell you what, though, this is the first time... I mean, Mike, we must have been in a room together hundreds of times, if not thousands of times now. This is the first time I've been in a room with Mike where he's not the best singer in the room. Because Mike is a talented... He's got some pipes on him as well.
I want to hear this.
I mean, I'm like a pub singer, Bev. That's all it is. You know, I'm a bit of a pub singer.
Doesn't matter.
He would win on The Masked Singer. If he went on The Masked Singer, he'd win it.
Oh, my God.
Don't say that, because I can't...
He's baked potato.
It's Mr. Baked Potato. So, listen, you have got this God-given talent. Where was it in your life? What age did we get to where you realised that you could actually... This is a career path. You know, were you still at school and you realised, actually, do you know what? I could probably make a living out of doing this if I can sing good enough.
I was young. I was about 7 or 8.
Really?
Damn.
It was singing along to all the people that I, you know, that I loved, starting with Sam Cooke, because Mum and Dad had the vinyls of Sam Cooke at home, all the pop stuff, but mostly the gospel recordings where he really shows his voice. Aretha Franklin, and then, you know, listening to Chaka Khan on the radio, and real great singers. And then the pop stuff, Annie Lennox, you know, Eurythmics. Anybody who had a great voice, I always I've got to sing along with them. And then I realised I couldn't just sing along, but I could sing all the bits. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I thought, oh, well, if they can do it, so can I. No idea how. But I'd watch Top of the Pops like it was religion. And like, one day, that's going to be me. One day.
And it was.
And it was.
You were just the right generation as well. If you were like 7, 8 years younger, then you wouldn't have those musical references. It would be Chakademus and Pliers and Salt and Pepper. And it might not be as good.
Milli Vanilli. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. God, no.
No, it's true. Wob, wob. I mean, you just wouldn't be Beverly Knight then, would you? You'd just be somebody else. Bev, that's incredible that you were so young and you knew that you could make a career path out of this. So,
I had no idea how, but I knew I was going to...
You were going to do that.
Yeah.
You were definitely destined to become a musical star in some way, shape or form. Was it then that you went, OK, record contract pop or soul singer or... You know, musical theatre. Where was you going? Where was your compass pointing?
Well, I knew I was just pointing at Top of the Pops. No, I wanted to sing the songs that were like the songs I'd grown up with and that I was hearing not only on the radio but on vinyl. And to an extent, the songs that I was hearing in the church, you know, because it was very kind of soul blues influence. So that was my natural leaning. And luckily for me, again, because my love of music was so vast, I just had the ability to kind of scramble on the piano, throw a few chords together and learn slowly but surely how to write songs. So my thing was, I want to sing, and I want to sing the songs that I've written here, the songs that I was writing. Absolute rubbish, but, you know, you got to start somewhere. And they were all kind of dripping with that soul vibe, you know, that, because that's what I really, really knew and understood. But I guess listening to the radio and you know, our generation, we had much fewer radio stations, so radio played more or less everything. So I was influenced by everything. So even though it had a like a soul background, the music I envisioned that I'd be doing would have the framework of soul, but it would have shades of pop in it and shades of rock and shades of this and shades, like a hybrid.
Nice.
Because that's what I heard. I absorbed it all. I just love music.
So, first record contract, how does that happen? And what happens then? Does somebody sit in front of you and say, I'm going to give you a big fact check and you're going to make a song for us?
If only. I was singing at home, Wolverhampton, in a club.
Yeah, because Wolverhampton isn't known as the mecca of the musical world, is it?
No, there's a few of us who have come out of Wolverhampton who have done all right. Slade.
Of course,
Slade,
yes.
And then down the road, just a tiny bit down the road, lovely Robert Plant.
There you go. He's done all right. He's done all right. Yeah, he's had a couple of hits.
But yeah, Babylon Zoo. you know, there's a few of us.
Whatever
there's a few of us
them?
in Wolverhampton. But there was this club called Paloma's. It's still there today, but it's some other name. I can't remember now. And there was a pirate radio station and they were celebrating their fifth anniversary of being illegally on the air. They asked me as a local talent if I would come and join. By this time, you know, in Wolverhampton, people knew about this kid who could sing and, you know, and because of the church network, you know, people really knew about what I could do. So I was asked to come and sing. I was really young, you know, I was about just turned 19. I was singing kind of as warm up to a big artist who had a big hit record at the time. Unknown to me, this big artist had his A&R guy there, so record label exec. I come off the stage, the exec finds me in the crowd and says, I'd really love to have a meeting with you with a view to, you know, getting you signed. I was about to go to uni. So I was like, well, I mean, precocious or what? This was my response. I was like, yeah, well, I'm going to uni. Remember that I said I was a nerd.
A nerd, yeah.
And I'm going to do my degree. But if I think I'm good and if you think I'm as good as you say, then you got to wait for me to finish uni.
Wow.
They waited.
Yikes. Wow.
Waited. What was your degree?
This is my last year of uni. I got signed. I don't know if they still do this now, but where you can do like a split. So my major was theology, so religious studies, and my minor was performance arts.
Wow.
How long was that course?
Oh, that was three years.
Yeah. Wow.
And about the whole time, you're not worried about the student loan. So, you've got a record deal at the end.
Yeah. Were you still singing?
I sang all the time. I never, ever, honestly, I was like a human jukebox. I just wouldn't shut up. Never stop singing.
I just find that kind of inspirational, Bev. I really do. That little bit is really inspirational for people out there because you had the chance of fame and glory, but you went, no, I'm going to get my education first, where today these kids are all growing up watching talent shows on the TV and that's becoming their career path rather than thinking about getting an education first.
I think it's a different world back then. I mean, you're talking the very, very early 90s and also just generationally, my mum and my dad came to England, dad in 59, mum in 64, met, got married, had my sister, me, my brother. And they knew the importance of having something in your head other than just being able to sing, you know, that old school thing. So they drilled it into me. And because I was academically astute, they got behind me and really pushed, you know, to say, look, you can really hold your own in anywhere in life if you've got an education. And I believed them. And because I loved studying, I ran with it. And I love studying. And my dad would have throttled me if I'd left uni.
Which, for those of you out there that don't know this, this also comes back round as a 360 and catches up with you some point in the future, because you become a doctor of music. You get an honorary degree as a doctor of music. You're like a professor of music now.
Oh, God,
at Wolverhampton University.
At Wolves Uni, yeah. So, exactly. And, yeah, my dad was so proud of that. He was like, my daughter, Dr. Beverly.
Do you have to wear a special cloak and give people their, you know, their degrees at the end of the year?
Well, what... This is the thing. So when I got my honorary doctorate, they then asked me if I would hand out doctorates to other people. I was like, oh, God, this is a bit good, isn't it?
Fantastic. This is fantastic. Yeah. Nobody's ever offered me anything like that, like a doctorate of cars.
Oh, well, that needs to be fixed, doesn't it? I mean, you can get a degree in Pokemon these days, so there must be some... car-based degree that we can get you involved in.
There is a degree in America, which is a degree in burgerology, like flipping burgers.
Oh.
No, seriously.
Sign me up.
Burgerology.
Come on.
Yeah.
Did you ever meet the Queen?
Yes.
Michael has a big problem that he never met.
Met the Queen. She waved at me, I think. I was in the crowd and she drove past and waved at the crowd. But I think it was to me. But you got to meet. You met to meet our late great wonderful.
She was the one who gave me the MBA.
Oh, well, she was. Oh.
Yeah, it's a lovely picture. I've got a lovely picture. It's on the BBC archives.
Is
lovely
it really?
Picture.
Your mum and dad must be like the proudest parents. They must be gushing with pride.
Well, I've lost Dad now, bless him. Dad passed in 2010, but Mum and Dad were there at the palace with me.
They must have been so proud.
Only day I've seen tears in my dad's eyes. My dad was not that guy. You know, he was very reserved, held everything in. But seeing his eyes, you know, glisten over. Oh, my mum blarting. But my dad, like... They're like completely overwhelmed. I was like, oh my God, this means so much
it's
to
amazing.
Them, you know.
You've put the initials on your name.
Yeah.
Doctor, yeah. MBE. You should put those on your album, you know. The next album should be Dr. Beverly Knight, MBE. Yeah.
Why not?
You know?
Memory of your dad.
Yeah, just show it off. I've met a few knights in my time, and I could mention their names, but I don't want to embarrass them. But I've gone up and said hello and just said their name, like, hello, Beverly Knight, and they've reminded me it's Sir.
Oh, my God.
And I find that very, you know, precocious, if you like.
It's a bit much, isn't it?
It's a bit much.
It's a bit much.
Whoa, hold on a minute, you know.
A time where you weren't.
Oh, yes, and they've reminded me that they are. Right, let's cut to the... Right, so here you are, Beverly Knight, you're now famous, you've got an MBE, you've got a doctorate, you're doing fantastically, you're smashing it everywhere, but there is a little sideways step that I'm really intrigued to know a little bit about, which is you went on tour with Take That.
Yeah.
I just want to know what that was like, going on tour with those boys.
Oh, God. Well, it was the comeback... tour. Remember, do you remember the press conference that the lads held and Gary was like, take that, are going back on tour.
It's like he's in the room.
Is he in the room?
You could do Spitting Image, you know. You could be the voices
on
Spitting
Image. I do like
voices.
Yeah. I love voices. The call came in from the management saying, you know, would you open for us and then would you join us as part of our show? And I thought, well, that's a easy way to get a ticket then. That'll do. I've never had so many friends when I did. Everybody was like, Beverly!
Yeah, can I get a ticket? Well, me and Michelle went to see you in Manchester City football ground.
Chloe.
We went to see you and you was, I think you...
I opened for them.
You opened and then you did Relight My Fire.
Did Relight.
Yeah,
and did the bit at the beginning and then came back on for Never Forget as well.
Were you
right,
Robbie,
again.
Excuse my ignorance on this, were you Robbie for the tour then? Was that how it was?
No, I was Lulu, if you like.
Of course, right, yeah.
But I remember the original that Lolita Holloway sang that line, so I kind of was challenging her in singing Relight. At the beginning of the show, it opened with their kind of version of The Great Gig in the Sky. You know that song with the the wailing, like a fluid wailing woman at the, all the way through the song. So I did that, which was their version of it, then came on, did Real Light, and then at the end, the big Never Forget, which was just magnificent. I mean, seeing all those people, being in a stadium, all these folk, you know, screaming back at you. It was absolutely astonishing. No, Robbie wasn't there, but it was the four lads at the time, this before Jason left. And it was just amazing. Some of the crazy experiences I've ever had, ever on a stage. You'd say thank you, good night to the crowd, get off the stage, still in your costume, in a car, gone before the audience has even, you know, before the band stopped playing, you've gone because you have to. Because otherwise you're going to have 50,000 or however many these stadiums hold, women mostly and gay men, chasing you down the road. They had police escorts, everything. I mean, it was touring on a level that I'd never seen or experienced.
Hang on, so women, gay men and Mike.
Yes. we also went and see him at another gig, Take That, because Chloe was in to Take
A lot
That.
Of happy
yes, there was, right. So we're standing, right, listen, we're standing, and it was the elephant, when the elephant comes out and goes up, and it was
Robbie. Oh, the circus,
right, the circus, and Robbie was coming back to perform a few songs of
That's
it.
Right, I saw that too, yeah.
Right, and we're standing at the sort of runway bit, and when it's all kicking off and Robbie come on, there was this bunch of ladies around us, all facsimiles of each other with their straight and blonde hair, and they were going, Robbie, 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 Robbie. That's, they were just insanely shouting Robbie.
Wow.
Right? Anyway, it started to just mist with a little bit of rain, a little drizzle of rain, and there was a few little, you know, £1 umbrellas popping up, the little ones, right? And people were going, Robbie, 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 and these little umbrellas come up. So I just put my hood up, on my jacket.
Yeah.
And this woman punched me in the back of the head.
Oh.
She went bang, and I turned around and went, ah, what was that all about? She went, I can't say Robbie! Yeah. Through your hood!
Was it Mrs. B?
No.
Oh my God!
So I went, and it was dark. It was sort of, it was dark. You know, there's just the lights from the stadium.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ow, what are you doing? And she went, I can't see Robbie through your hood. So I dropped my hood back, and you know, then she's got to face these umbrellas. I thought she going to punch them anyway. But when the concert was over and the house lights went up,
yeah.
She went, oh, my husband loves you. Can I get your autograph?
Oh my God! She never did.
He did. I said, you can go.
Exactly.
Yeah, unbelievable. God. But I remember
the
chaos of those concerts. So for you to be involved in that must have been one experience.
Oh my God, I've never ever seen anything like it. That is the closest that I think I'd ever get to imagining what it must be like for, like, when the Beatles were at their height.
Yeah.
I've never seen, like, people I would never have put down as being Take That fans or Gary fans or Robbie fans or whatever. My phone rang off the hook. Honestly, I've never had so many friends in my life. People I haven't spoken to since I don't know when, you know, Bev, you got to get me in. Can I have tickets? Or the classic is, you know, hello, Bev. I haven't spoken to you for ages. How are you?
Yeah. It's when you get a new gig and people spot you doing something.
Exactly.
Oh, I've been meaning to catch up for such a long. Have you?
How is it?
When you're successful, all the friends come back. And when you're in the quiet moment, the real friends are there.
It's just mad.
There is a car equivalent of that.
Of course.
Car, we've mentioned cars, Mike.
There is a car equivalent of that.
In this Take That Fan Zone podcast.
Exactly. It's when you get a van. So you have a van,
go
and
on.
Then people find out
it's
you
like
have a van.
It's like a swimming pool.
They'll come round. Yeah. So if you've got a van, you get a phone call from somebody you haven't spoke to for a year, and they go, all right, Mike, how are you doing? I go, yeah, I'm all right. You still got that transit? Yeah, why? Ah, right, it's just my sister needs a sofa moving.
Right.
And I wondered if I could just use it.
Right.
And it's like, well, you just, like, you know, a year I've been waiting for this phone call. But me and Andy, we literally face that chaos. Every day we walk out the studio, there are literally, what, one fan there waiting?
Half a fan.
I mean, screaming, or are they just screaming at us to get out there?
We're just in the way.
So it must have been an amazing experience.
It was.
Then saying that, Bev, you know, you said, you know, this this is what it must feel like to be a Beatle, because we're to take that, boys. But you've also had that yourself, haven't you? I mean, let's face it, at the 2012 Olympic Games, the opening ceremony, we used the Icons of Britain. That's what we used. Just you know, wonderful. We had the Who, we had everyone there. And then we had you. an icon of Britain. So you did have a stadium all to yourself of people watching you as you're singing your pipes out. It must have been that experience for you.
That was humbling. That's one of the highlights of my whole career. That summer. Do you remember what that summer
was like? It was just the best summer like, ever, wasn't it?
Just the it was great weather. The whole London was buzzing. The whole country felt like united, and it was just the most incredible time. But being in that stadium a few days before I got married, right before I got married to James, it was the Paralympics, and I'm there singing. Professor Stephen Hawking was still with us. So
he wasn't singing, though, was he?
He wasn't singing. No, he was just being him, being magnificent. You know, I had to get that picture. Oh, my God. So on the night, I'm singing a version which I'd kind of done myself and with one of the producers. I Am What I Am. You know, we kind of made it so that it fit the occasion. And it's live, and it's live not only to the nation, it's live around the world. So a billion plus people are watching this. There's me and my background singers, and we're supposed to finish and then the fireworks. Well, it's live. They're still transmitting. I finished the song. The backing track that we're singing to has got quite a lot of music, but because it's live, you can't predict everything to the exact minute. So the song's actually finished. I finished my bit, but the fireworks hadn't quite been ready yet. So I'm like, it's live and I've got maybe a minute to fill. So I'm kind of telling the BVs this symbol, which is, for those who can't see, of course, I've got my finger in the air, one finger pointing up, and I'm doing a circular movement as if to say, go round the chorus again.
Nice.
Like I would have done way back in church. And I just start ad-libbing and vibing just to, because I know it's live. I'm filling the time until I can see the fireworks have gone off. It's like,
amazing.
It that felt like a proper concert then. That felt real. That felt like, okay, I'm in a show. A billion people are watching me. Don't screw up. It was amazing, amazing feeling.
I bet the producers were patting you on the back after that, saying, well done, Bev, for carrying that off.
It was just, when you're a musician, the musician instinct kicks in.
Thank you for listening to the Wheeler Dealer podcast, brought to you by the Gardex Group. Gardex offer a range of award-winning automotive products, including paint and interior protection, insurance products, and digital solutions. Whether you're buying your next car or you're an automotive dealer, look no further. Go with Gardex. To find out more, visit GardexGroup.com.
You're listening to the Wheeler Dealer podcast with Mike and Andy.
Bev, we're going to skip forward a little bit because we now know that you're a mega superstar. You're just everything, right? So you're just. But I just need to touch upon where we are now with Beverly and I, okay? Because you did a bit of musical theatre, which is acting, so you can act as well as sing. And
I've been doing acting my whole life.
Your whole life. Memphis is one that you did. Amazing. But I want to skip forward to the one that I went and see you in. Very kindly, you invited me and Michelle down. Down to come and see you in Drift the Girl, which was just incredible. That story.
Yeah.
I sat with the daughter of the mother that was
that I played, on Tina stage. Treadwell.
It was just incredible. I mean, that and the cast were amazing, those lads.
The lads,
oh my God, they can sing.
Oh God, I mean, just the joy, honestly. So I played Faye Treadwell, who was one of the first ever in music history female music managers, and she was a woman of colour and just basically went through a very tough time, took on the mantles of managing the Drifters because her husband died in 67. needs must, so she became the manager and decided to take the Drifters to England to give them a new kind of lease of life. And we, you know, we chronicle the story. And I mean, her life was amazing. And just to play someone who was real life like that, for me, was an honour and a joy. And you guys were sat with Tina Treadwell, who we portray on the stage as a little girl. And just to sing those songs, to be on the stage with those lads who were portraying not only the Drifters, but every other character. They were like multi-role playing, unbelievably talented. Every night for almost a year was just wonderful, absolutely wonderful.
What was amazing about it, and I pulled you up, we went for dinner after, and I said it to you at dinner after, which was, and if for those people out there that never got to see it, what was amazing is Beverly has a American accent all the way through it.
Yeah, Southern American, yeah.
Southern American accent, and then you sing in a Southern American accent, but it's still your pipes, it's still Beverly Knights, but with a Southern American twang, and it's just... That's a talent, you know. That's a talent on top of a talent. You're singing, but you're actually mimicking another accent as well at the same time.
Oh my God, that was graft.
It was graft.
Oh dear.
And which leads us nicely on, because we are using your time quite liberally here.
No, you're all right.
All right, thank you. Well, it leads us nicely on to this amazing new show that you're in, which we're all very excited about. The hubbub around it online is just insane.
Yeah.
And it tells an amazing story about the empowerment of women in our history. Sylvia.
Oh, so most people have heard of the suffragettes, and most people have heard of at least the name Emmeline Pankhurst. I play Pankhurst, her daughter Sylvia Pankhurst, most people have not heard of. But Sylvia Pankhurst was one of the people who pushed and pushed and pushed to get working people, men and women, the vote. So Emmeline fought to get the votes for women, but women who had property and were above the age of 30 and that. But it was Sylvia who took the fight all the way to the end to get everybody the vote. The story is pretty much about how this fight for votes for women ripped the family to shreds, because daughter wouldn't do what mother wanted her to do. It's just amazing, and the politics of the time and that. But if you've heard of the musical Hamilton, you know, kind of really funky hip hop, you know, that kind of style of music, this is like that on steroids. It's just...
Oh, that sounds great.
The music is banging. The music's great.
Yeah, it's got a bit of grime, a bit of hip-hop.
Yeah.
It's got soul in it.
It's soul, it's funk.
It's funk, it's got everything in it.
And the dancing is... You can imagine the kind of dancing that goes along with that. So, yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, we got Winston Churchill doing grooves, man. You know what I mean? Wow. We got him getting down.
Oh, can't wait to see it. Cannot wait.
I don't have to dance, thank God. Just do a bit of arm stuff.
Where can people go and see this? How do they get a ticket? Where can I go?
Well, it's a limited run at the Old Vic. We're there until the second week of April. Just go straight to the Old Vic website. Yeah, it's magnificent.
Congratulations, man. You're just smashing it. Right, so now we've got a little format point.
We haven't mentioned cars in this car-based podcast.
So this is a nice little format point.
Oh,
for you.
Good.
You're going to love this. We've done this with every guest we've had.
Yes.
We're now going to do it with you. So this can be a complete fantasy for you. So obviously, you and your husband, James, like the odd car.
Yes, we do.
I mean, James loves a car.
He really loves a car.
He came to Silvers and Classic with me one year.
He just
dragged around looking at all the various cars.
Mostly topless.
showing off his latest tattoo. So here we go. So we got a fantasy road trip we're going to give you. First and foremost, you need to choose a car for this fantasy road trip. So if you had a choice of any car you like, what would it be?
Well, the problem is, if I've got to fit people in the back.
You have.
If I, oh, God.
Well, yeah. I tell you what, you can have two cars, because you've got to get back as well.
You have got to get back. So you can have a four-seater, you can have convertible.
Let's fit the people in the back for one, and then you can just bin them off for another one. They can take the train for another one. And it's on Mike. He's going to cover the cost of the car. So have anything you like.
Anything you like.
Right, so...
Beverly looked at Mike like he was really going to pay for it. It was like, I got what?
So... I love the Aston Martin DB5.
Completely, because come on. Yep.
You know, I can see myself in it. With my headscarf and my gloves and just...
Done.
Looking proper. It's you know what I mean?
Very, very strange musically. We did have a rule. We're going to break the rule, which was we can't choose cars that other people had chosen.
Yep.
But we're going to break that rule.
Hang on, wasn't it a DB4 last
time? It was a DB4, but it was Matt Goss who said he would... But no, you can have your Aston Martin DB5.
Good.
Very, very nice car indeed. So you've got your Aston Martin DB5, mm-hmm. and you're going to go on a journey.
Yes.
Where are you starting from? Where would you like this journey to start from? Anywhere in the world.
It's going to start in a tiny little village called Springfield, which is in the parish of St. Elizabeth, which is in the island of Jamaica.
Yeah, there you go. Like the sound of that.
Where my mum and dad both went to school.
Brilliant. Right, not where the Simpsons live.
No, definitely not that Springfield.
Okay, so we are not at Springfield. So we're in Jamaica, we're in an Aston Martin DB5.
We are.
Beverly's there with her gloves on, scarf on.
What a sight.
Hey? And it's beautiful.
Yeah. Right, who is in the passenger seat beside you?
Yes, James. This can't be.
It can't be me, James.
No, James is in an ice bath somewhere.
Your husband.
James is running behind going, what about me?
A plus one is running behind.
That's the only rule. Well, no, there's a few rules, aren't there? But the key rule is the listeners need to know that.
Okay.
So you can't have family and friends.
You could say Aretha Franklin, Marvin Gaye. You could say something like that.
It's going to be Prince.
It's going to be Prince.
Now, that's a great shout.
It's going to be Prince.
I mean, that's pretty incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is pretty incredible. You've got to picture it now, haven't you? We're in Jamaica.
This is a trip.
We're in Springfield.
Yeah.
We're in an Aston Martin DB5.
Yeah.
Scarf, gloves, big glasses.
Oh, yeah.
Bev behind the steering wheel.
Prince is sitting
next to her.
Wow.
Absolutely.
He'd need a booster seat.
I don't know.
He would need a booster seat so he could see over the dashboard. Just so people out in the world would know that Prince is sitting beside Bev in the car.
Oh.
We can have a couple of rear passengers as well. So I know you've got Prince. Do you want to throw some people in the back?
Oh, who am I going to have in the back now? Let's see.
You can have two people in the back, how about?
Yeah, go on then. Bit of a squeeze, but hey. I think, I need someone who can make me laugh.
Yep.
Quite possibly, I'd drag along Peter Kay.
Great shout.
Brilliant shout.
Also, loves some time in a car.
Yeah,
you know,
he spent a lot of time in cars.
Really thinking about the logistics of it, Prince should be in the back because he's smaller. Peter Kay next to you.
What, in his booster seat?
Yeah, you know what I mean? just in terms of size.
But Prince could be running the stereo, couldn't he?
He could have the seat really far forward.
Oh, my God.
See, Prince would be running the stereo. Yeah, we'd... In Peter Kay, Peter Kay be in
guaranteed good music.
Cracking jokes.
Guaranteed bants.
Who's the other person? Is there another person in the back?
Oh, God, no. There has to be another person. And probably, I worship and adore her, the actress Angela Bassett.
Angela Bassett, she is amazing.
In my head, she's like my auntie. She's like Auntie Angela to me.
She came to see you at the Drifter Girl gig, didn't she, Angela Bassett? I'm a super fan of hers as well. I absolutely love her. She's so good.
She's divine. When I grow up, I want to be Angela Bassett.
Well, I'd just like to touch her finger because she is amazing, Angela Bassett. So here we go. Angela Bassett, Peter Kay. That's a funny mix, isn't it?
This is Prince
in the booster seat up front. You're in the car. You're in the Aston. You're just about to set off from Springfield.
Yeah.
You're going to go on this trip. We're going to find out where you're going in a minute. But Prince has got control over the stereo. What's going in that 8-track?
Well, probably Sly and the Family Stone.
Yes.
Because it would be funky.
Yes, it would.
Yes. I think even Peter Kay would be singing along to that, wouldn't he?
He would love it.
Yes, he would love that. That would be fantastic. So there you are, in the car, Sly and the Family Stone, blasting away on the 8-track, Prince beside you, just looking at you adoringly as you got your big glasses, your scarf, your gloves on. You're in Springfield. You're setting off. Where are you going? What's your destination point?
We are going to head to Kingston, so we're going to do right across the island from the south where we are, southwest, and we're going to head all the way across east to Kingston.
That's going to be one hell of a journey.
Isn't it? Yeah.
With a bit of Sly and the Family Stone bouncing out on the 8-track, you behind the steering wheel, the Aston Martin.
Wailing away.
Snacks. We need to go snacks.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, snacks.
Snacks. What are people eating?
What's in the glove box? What are you eating?
Right. Well, so Mum obviously knows that I'm going on this road trip. So she's baked a cake. Yeah. She's got a lovely little rum cake for me, which I share sparingly, keep the majority for myself, obviously. And then I've
careful,
got, like,
Bev, because you're behind the wheel. So careful.
You know, it's rum cake.
Don't want to get you pulled over.
Yeah, Jamaican police notar. So I've got little Jamaican patties, which are, if you don't know them, they're like little Cornish pasties, but
delicious.
Kind of
spicy.
Yeah. Bit spicier, a bit more.
Lovely.
Yeah, delicious. Yeah. I've got a load of fruit pastels, because I'm a sweets fiend. James will be disgusted with me. James isn't on this trip, so he can't tell me off.
No, he
James,
can't tell you off.
For the listeners that don't know, James is Beverly's husband, who is Mr. Fitness and Mr. Good Eating, Mr. Ice Bath. He's a beautiful man, but he will regulate the snacks allowed.
Yes, he would. Yeah. He would be...
Hence him not being on the trip.
Disgusted. It'd be like, this is all terrible food.
So you got your fruit pastels.
Got my fruit pastels.
You've got your pasty.
My little Jamaica mini patties.
And your rum cake.
And Mum's rum cake.
Right,
fabulous.
So there you are. You've set off on your journey. You're having a right laugh. Peter Kay's making everyone cackle and laugh.
Yeah.
You're eating snacks as you're going. You've driven all the way to Kingston. You've got no doubt when you get to Kingston, you're going to go into a nice little bourbon bar and drink a little bit of bourbon, carry on the party, have a bit of a laugh. But when you come out of the bar...
Right.
Somebody has stolen the Aston Martin.
What?
Yeah, Mike's nicked it back.
It's gone. Yeah. The Aston Martin's gone.
Yeah.
So you now need to choose one car to get home in. What's it going to be?
Yeah, the good news is there is a car park next door. Mike's got the keys to
everything.
Car, so you can have whatever you want to drive
to go back home in.
Oh, wow.
And you don't have to take the passengers back if you want a two-seater.
If you, yeah, you could say, I'm going to dump. Well,
Prince didn't find PK very funny. So they haven't got on very well. Angela's still on the bourbon. So
she's
you could
like,
just go.
She's sozzled. She gone.
That accent's brilliant. Go on,
you could just take Prince back with you if you wanted a two-seater.
Well, you see, now I'm thinking, because now I'm really thinking about it. I think it might have to be a Cosworth.
Oh, yes, get in.
That's a choice. It might have to be
Sierra or Escort.
Probably the Sierra.
Sierra Cosy.
Because when I was a kid, I used to, the naivety of children, I'd beg my mum, please, can we have a Sierra Cosworth? Can we
have
one?
That's the car that got me into cars.
I can't afford those. How are you crazy? But I wanted that car. Never had it.
Fast forward, you can never go wrong. That's amazing.
I wanted that car. I've always wanted that car.
Well, get one now.
Yeah.
You should get one now.
I know. I've talked to James about it already.
And James,
surely
no
he'd be on board
to talk
with that.
To me about it.
Probably.
a bit of digression, because we mentioned him a lot here, James. Right, James O'Keefe. Follow him online. He's Beverly's husband. Beverly, for those of you who are listening to this and not staring at this, Beverly looks 20, although she's slightly older than 20. She looks 20.
She's 23.
She is absolutely tight fit, like a drum, like six pack. And I said to her husband, Beverly looks absolutely incredible. He says, I dump her in an ice bath every morning in the garden. And he was doing it during lockdown. And he gives you this shock therapy every morning. And he says, that's how she's so tight, because I just make sure that I dump her in this ice bath. It gives you this shock therapy every day, doesn't it?
Oh, my God. Cold water therapy. And I know the science is there and all of it. And it really helps your immune system and keeps you fit and well and really nice for your skin and everything. But it's hard.
How long are you in there for?
Like 3 minutes. Oh, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I hold up my hands. In these, the colder weather, I've kind of scared off of doing it. He's still in there. He don't care.
You don't come out.
He's in there. It'd be frost outside. He's in there. And
well,
like,
if he ever does one of these drives with us, it's him and Wim Hof, isn't it?
It's him.
He is Mr. Wim Hof.
We'll turn the aircon on. You know. But you're in Alaska. Yeah. Open the windows.
Oh, Oh, brilliant. Right, one more thing. The killer question from Mrs. B.
Yes,
what is it, Mrs.
Go on.
Mrs.
B?
You've ticked a load of boxes in your amazing journey.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any boxes that you haven't ticked yet?
Oh, good one.
Oh, that's a great question, you see.
That's a good one. Amazing. Women.
She's the brains of the group.
If I had a list of stuff in front of me with all the things ticked off, the list of unticked boxes goes on and on and on. As soon as I've done something, I'm like, right, what's next? I want to do more films. I've only ever done one feature film and it was great, so much fun. I definitely want to do more TV, get into, you know, I'd love to do a drama or something. Hopefully an Olivier, hopefully a Tony. Yeah, I've got plans.
Yes,
are there any people that you would have liked to have ticked a box with, but they sadly have gone upstairs?
Yeah.
Missed that moment.
Yeah, there's a few. George Michael.
Yeah.
And us meant to, George and I were going to go in the studio and do something, figure something out. He lost his, this sounds really ridiculous, but the day he lost his pet, that was like, okay, fair enough. Oh, we'll reschedule. Lost his mum.
Oh,
yeah. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So we just kept talking about it, but it never happened. And to this day, I still think, oh man, I never got to get in that studio with George Michael. And that was a real realistic thing that would absolutely happen. But, you know, it's life. But when I think of him now, I think, you know, what a legacy that man left us. What
amazing.
Voice. What
amazing.
A writer.
Yeah, what he was a genius, absolutely.
He's a complete genius.
And so are you, Bev. You know, sitting here in front of you. We are going to say the Wheeler Dealer podcast here have just been thrilled to have you on. It's been a real brilliant insight into you, your career, what you've done in your life, the achievements you've made, but also importantly where you are now with Sylvia appearing at the Old Vic. And I urge people to go and sell it out, go and buy a ticket.
Yay.
And go and see Beverly Knights. It's been absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it's been wonderful.
I've loved it.
Yes,
thank you. I have loved it so good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
What a joy catching up with Beverly Knight.
She's amazing.
Isn't she cool?
And she can absolutely belt out a tune, that girl, let me tell you.
Yeah.
I've stood 5 feet away from her in an audience at the theatre watching her sing, and I'll be honest with you, it hurts. her pipes are so loud and so brilliant. It sort of gets right into your soul. She is amazing. And who would have thought, what a proper car girl. She chose some amazing cars there, didn't
she? Yeah, she clearly loves her Aston, doesn't she? And that's, you can just kind of see it. I mean, I love how much we're learning about, I guess, using that vehicle of what you're driving.
Pardon
and who you're taking
pun?
With you.
Oh, no,
that was not intended. But I think Prince would be an amazing... amazing co-passenger, don't you reckon? I mean, the stories he must have had to share.
He would just be on his guitar singing the whole way, wouldn't he?
Oh,
yeah. Friends of mine went to see Prince at the O2. Then they went backstage. They were invited backstage. So he'd just done a two-hour set at the O2. Then they went backstage and he did a two-and-a-half-hour set backstage after the gig.
Wow. It's
crazy.
I wonder what he'd drive. What do you think would be his dream car?
I would imagine Prince had quite a big car collection,
probably,
don't you?
Yeah.
You know, he would
kind of Cadillacs and things.
Yeah, he would have had lots of cars.
He was
and
on a
push
bike
bikes.
A lot. Was
yeah, he liked
his
the push
bike.
Bike. Yeah. He did like a push bike. Okay. Yeah, him and Jeremy Vine.
And Chris Hoy
on their bikes together. I mean, look, you know, you're right, Andy. We get an insight into our guests by putting them on this road trip and on this journey, and it really is insightful. It's been absolutely brilliant so far, and we've got more amazing guests lined up for the future. Can't wait to bring them onto the podcast and share them with our audience. And thank you so much so far, everyone, for your very kind comments and what you've been saying about the podcast and how much you're enjoying it. Make sure you like, subscribe, hit the bell, whatever you need to do.
Follow a podcast.
Just make sure that you follow us so you don't miss it and it'll drop into your box and you can take us on your journey to work, on your journey, whether it's in the car, the train, the bus, whatever it is, you can enjoy it with us. You can find me, if you've got any questions for us, car related questions, you can find me on all forms of social media, Twitter and Instagram. I'm @MikeBrewer On Facebook, it's Wheeler Dealer. Or if you want to ask a sideways
and
question,
then you do.
You can always go and follow Mrs. M.
Come
Brewer.
Come
on, me. Yes. Mrs. B's Killer Questions. I think we're going to have to make a special social account just for you. You've been listening to a TBI Media production. Thank you very much for your company. We have loved sharing today with you. Ta-la.
Ta-la.
Thanks for listening and for being a passenger on the Wheeler Dealer podcast. It was brought to you by Gardex Group, the ultimate vehicle protection solutions provider. Whether you're buying your next car or an automotive dealer, go with Gardex. Visit GardexGroup.com.